Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio, and I'm Whitney Shio's husband. And at Live Your Best Marriage, we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling. Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.
Yes, not only that, but long-lasting too.
Yes, and you can always find us at liveyourbestmarriage.com or at our Facebook page at Live Your Best Marriage, and also at our Twitter page, which is at Pesa Shio and at Whitney Shio.
That's right.
And today's episode, this is part two of what we had talked about.
We actually just released a podcast yesterday, and it was called What Path Are You On? And we've already received feedback from some of you guys on Twitter. And a few of you said they were good tips, but it was just slightly confusing. So what I wanted to do is have a part two of that today with a better explanation.
So what path are you on? And this is more of trying to connect between the things that you do in your marriage, connecting them from your thoughts to patterns that you form in the behavior that you have, to the habits, and eventually living your life on autopilot. So in a way, we are trying to connect what you start doing as a thought or just an action here and there, and eventually it taking over your life, and you're living your life on some sort of an autopilot where you are on a destructive path or a great path, but you're not literally thinking about it or consciously acting on these things.
Right. So one of the things that we talked about yesterday was the fact that the decisions you make are what lead you to your outcome. But is there a way for us to know what kind of outcome we want anyway? Because the path that we choose is what is going to decide what our destination is. So to start with that, if you want to picture every thought that you think about your spouse is a seed that you're planting. And if it's a positive, happy, loving thought, all of the seeds are going to grow into this beautiful tree that has a lot of fruit. So then that means if you have negative thoughts of resentment or anger or whatever it is, that tree might just end up looking like some plant that is barely able to make it. And maybe the plant just looks miserable. So what I wanted to break down today for us, because I need this talk more than anybody does, to be honest with you, because I am almost always on autopilot, and that's a huge problem because it can be really difficult to navigate through some of life's tough situations if there's not enough planning or there's just not enough intentional thinking going on.
For some of us who are not farmers and we really don't understand this whole seed and planting thing, I always look at it from the point of, like, imagine the first day you start driving a car. That day, it was really complicated. You had to think about everything that you are doing because you had to use your conscious thought and just everything was hard. But the more you drove a car, the more everything started getting easier, and to the point now that you don't even think, you just get in the car, you start driving, and you find yourself at your job. How did you do this? Because everything becomes autopilot. Your body and your mind and everything works in such a way that you don't have to think about it.
Right. It just becomes this habit that you're able to do without even putting a lot of thought into it. And so my question is that what happens with some of our routines? For example, when we come home from work and we just want to sit down on the couch and watch TV. Is that a habit that develops into a long-term pattern? And then as a result, we end up with complacency? That's just something that...
Yeah, that's something that actually happens to the best of us. And yes, it ends up with us being more complacent, and that's how you end up becoming a couch potato and gaining weight and so forth and so forth. But it started as, hey, I just came from work, I'm tired, I just want to watch some TV. 2 years later, you are a different person. You just become so good at it.
Right. And in Darren Hardy's book, The Compound Effect, he explained it really well when he talked about two different guys who took two different paths. Mm-hmm. One of them decided to eat hamburgers every day or something like that.
Okay.
And so, and then the other guy decided that he would eat healthy and exercise. Yes. So after 6 months, they still, both of these guys looked pretty much the same. There wasn't a huge noticeable difference when you look at them.
Uh-huh.
But then 2 years later, you could actually see, you know, the huge amount of weight gain that the guy had who was eating the hamburgers, and then the one who was exercising had all of the muscles and everything. So his whole point in that book was the compound effect can either work for you or work against you, depending on the route that you decide to go.
But somebody might say, ah, that is easy. That's easy if it's in like in a book, in a hypothetical situation. But in real life, there are so many things that you're dealing with. You can't just think in terms of like, oh, this is a habit that I'm forming. I'm dealing with so many other things that I'm not just having one issue that I have to worry about.
Right. And so the whole point of the compound effect is things can build up very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So once something does become a habit, I mean, it adds up like you would not believe. And so what you just brought up about, you know, not really realizing, you know, that, hey, I'm on this path and I'm doing this and I have all these patterns in my life. Actually, that is something that we can consciously look for.
Okay.
We can look for trends in our life and look for problems and think, okay, well, what do I have going on in this area? Is it similar to what I have going on in this other area?
Yeah.
Because once you're able to sort of analyze what's happening,
okay,
you'll be able to identify some of the patterns and the trends that are going on. Because, and one huge problem that I used to have is I would view every problem in my life as an isolated incident.
Okay.
I would just consider, okay, well, you know, none of those things are related and that just happened, or that person just talks to me like that, or, you know, just everything was separate.
Okay.
But now I'm able to see, like, okay, actually, no. There are some problems that are connected because they have the same root cause.
And what do you mean by the same root cause? Does that mean, how can you connect that same root cause with this whole thing about patterns and habits and autopilot and thoughts?
Well, I think one example that I can think of for myself is I have had a tendency in my life to be indecisive.
Okay.
And so, which basically, in my opinion, just puts me on autopilot. I mean, okay, if I'm not actively trying to have more planning or more strategy in the things that I'm doing and just where I want to go in life, then that can lead to other problems.
Okay. So how do you bring up this whole issue of strategy when it comes to marriage?
Strategic marriage. No, I wouldn't say that so much. I would just say that if there are certain trends that you're noticing as a couple, because I've heard people say that a lot of couples fight about the exact same things over and over again. So if you have a tendency to argue about finances.
Yeah, so let's say arguing about bills. Like we don't have enough money to pay bills.
Right. Yeah, you fight over the same things.
Okay.
And so that is an indicator that there are some unresolved issues going on.
Okay.
Some things that haven't been dealt with. But once you can figure out what some of the key words are that start triggering those arguments, then it's a lot, it can become easier.
So for example, this argument about not having enough money to pay the bills. So what would you give, what kind of advice would you give to a couple going through that? And like, just to help us unpack this whole situation.
So what I would say specifically, if they're having an argument about finances, I would say that it might even be a money blueprint that they had when they were younger, and what I mean by that is something could have planted an idea in their head a long time ago when they were a child in regards to money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the way their parents acted with money,
or
maybe the overall attitude that people had about money in their household growing up.
Like, give me an example.
So one example could be, if one spouse grew up in a home that was frugal.
Okay.
And then maybe the other spouse, these are all just examples.
Okay.
Maybe the other spouse grew up in a home where spending was the thing to do.
Okay.
So they've carried those attitudes with them all the way up to now.
Okay.
So when we say that a thought is a seed that was planted.
Okay.
Yeah, you can really look at it that way, because it's an attitude that was developed a long time ago, and you're still carrying it with you up to today.
And you are just making decisions on autopilot
regarding
money.
Right. You just go with that.
Okay.
You just go with what you know.
Yes.
And so if you can, everything just continues to build up. And so if you and your spouse can figure out what is making you guys stay stuck on that issue, look for keywords that you're using when the argument starts. And then if you go from there, you can figure out, you know, what's causing this, what has taken you guys on this path to where you fight about this particular issue.
So you won't just tell them like, hey, you guys are having trouble paying your bills, so you need a budget.
I don't want to give financial advice.
Okay.
No, not only that, but I just think that I don't think the biggest problem is the finances. I think that there's something underneath. I think the money is the superficial problem. But I think if you dig underneath, you'll start finding other beliefs that they started a long time ago, but they've brought with them into 2017.
So the best thing to do is deal with the other things that they have before dealing with the money issue or deal with the money issue so that they can pay their rent, and then later on they'll deal with the other issue. Like, how do you deal with that?
The money issue is just one example among so many that we could give.
Okay.
Because there are other couples out there who deal with things like jealousy.
Okay.
Or insecurity.
Okay.
And so, again, when the argument starts, they'll have to look for certain keywords that each partner is using.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they're going to find out why they're upset. And then once you find out why they're upset, then you'll be able to see that there's a belief under there somewhere.
Yes.
And if you want to, we can also look at the insecurities as well. Because there might be a comment that was made many years ago.
Okay.
Or several comments that have been made over the years. And then an event might trigger some of those hurt feelings. And one example that I have from right now is our church is having an event where couples can go and can jump on a trampoline, okay, right? Like as a date night as a group, and then they can go play sand volleyball.
Okay,
that sounds fine and everything, but for a woman who is dealing with insecurities, that's not going to be a fun event.
Oh, yes.
Because there might be a belief that she has developed that her husband will just be staring at other ladies or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to show that the words we use are very powerful, and the beliefs that are formed once we hear those words are so strong, and they just keep building up and building up, because a pattern just, it's going to take you on a path. And so that's why it is, I'm trying.
So like, for example, so on with this trampoline thing, so for other couples, it's just couples jumping up and down on a trampoline.
Right.
But for some other couples who are dealing with jealousy, mm-hmm. it is actually, they see it as maybe the husband or the wife is actually just looking at other mm-hmm. people or something.
So for a wife who thinks her husband is a pig, mm-hmm. she might be thinking, okay, great. Why would I want to go to this event? It's just going to be a huge bounce fest for my husband. He's just going to be staring at other women because, you know, he told me 2 years ago that this shirt I was wearing made me look like I was gaining weight or something. Whatever the comment was, it was a seed that was planted. And now, 2 years later, she is on this path thinking that her husband is not attracted to her. And
so this, so for that couple, you'll tell them not to go.
You know what? If I honestly believe that each person is entitled to their opinion, and if they are insecure about something, they have every right to decide not to go to an event like that if they don't feel comfortable. Okay. And the reason I say that is because we actually went to a Weekend to Remember event for married couples. And they specifically said that some of the people on that retreat would not even be on speaking terms. Yeah. Like some couples actually sign up for these events to even get to the point where they can talk again because they are so upset with one another. And I think that's very, very commendable on the part of family life. Okay. They're the ones that put together that event because they are taking into consideration that some couples are sensitive to certain issues and they just need to take that time to reconnect. Okay. So to answer your question, for some married couples, going and playing beach volleyball might not be the best thing for them. I mean, honestly, come on.
Yeah, and it doesn't even matter, even if the pastor has approved it, that is not, you have to think in terms of your relationship. Mm-hmm. Is your relationship, can your relationship actually handle that kind of event? And if the answer is no, don't go.
Right. I mean, just because the pastor thinks it's a good idea, you can still go with your own gut feeling. There's nothing wrong with that. I encourage that because the more you can be intentional with your thinking and your planning, the better off you guys will be. And, you know, pastors make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
And he has good intentions, but I like what Brian Tracy said. He said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he said that in one of his books. But I just, that's just a point I wanted to make. Mm. So again, insecurity is just one more thing that can develop into a trend. And someone can actually be on a trajectory towards thinking, hey, you know what? If I go to this trampoline event, it's just going to be one more way that my husband insults me or humiliates me.
So in that situation, what would you tell husbands? Would you tell them, like, you need to be understanding where your wife is coming from, or you need to... Like, what should the husband really do? Like, should they just understand that, hey, the wife is maybe feeling insecure about going to some event like this? Or they should try to convince the wife to actually go because the pastor has approved it?
I think that husbands need to be considerate of the wife's opinion. Mm-hmm. And also, just as a general rule, husbands should always reassure their wives and just tell them on a regular basis how beautiful they are, because that's actually a need that women have. We need to hear those things on a regular basis.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, definitely to answer your question, if she doesn't feel comfortable going, just honor that. You guys can find something else. The world is too big to worry about missing a trampoline event. There are so many other things you guys can do to have fun.
And that is the same thing you would also give. That's the same advice you'd give to a couple who's having financial trouble. That they, there must be something else underneath going on.
I think, yeah, there can definitely be something underneath there. Because another book that we just read recently, the guy said, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Oh, yeah. Yes, how you do anything is how you do everything. Yes, how you do everything is
how... No, how you do anything is how you would do everything. Everything. Yeah. And in the book that we read... There was a businessman who made a deal with someone else who wanted to submit a proposal to him. So the guy said, oh, I'll send you the proposal on Friday. And he said, okay, fine. Come Monday, the proposal still was not in.
Okay.
When it finally came in, the businessman confronted the guy and said, you know, I just can't work with you. Because...
Yeah, because you promised me that the proposal will be here on Friday, but you never sent it. And this guy was coming up with so many excuses because he didn't think it was a big deal. But the author of the book was like, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you cannot just send in the proposal when you promised me you'll send it, I don't trust you that you'll be able to get the deals that we are trying to get done on time.
Right. So he was implying that if you can be this careless about something so small and so easy to do, then what else are you going to be sloppy with?
Yeah.
And although I personally cannot picture myself being that strict with someone, I can't even imagine myself being that strict with my kids. Mm-hmm. But I understand where he's coming from. I can definitely see how someone could think that, well, you know, if you can be ridiculous on this issue, then what are you going to be like on other things?
Yeah, you'd be a mess on other things, yeah.
Which basically just brings us back to our main theme of this talk, that things are like you develop habits.
Yes. And so basically they're trying to say that businessman develop the habit of not meeting deadlines. Mm-hmm. And how he behaved in this one situation, that's pretty much what he'll always be doing. He wouldn't be meeting deadlines and things wouldn't be working the way he decided. He said they should be working.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just to wrap up, how you do anything is how you would do everything. And this can these attitudes can spill over into every area of life. But since we're mostly talking about marriage, always begin with the end in mind, because your decisions turn into beliefs, which ultimately take you to your destination.
Yes, your thoughts will turn into some sort of a pattern, and your pattern will turn into habits that you'll be doing every day, and then that will make your life become on autopilot, and then...
Yes, so even just using the jealousy thing as an example, when we talked about insecurities earlier, you might be wondering, well, how could a comment that the husband made lead to all of that, all of those strong feelings? But actually, it is that simple. These things build up over time. So there must have been something that he said or something he did to make her feel inferior somehow.
Folks, this is not to scare for people like, oh, now I won't be able to say anything around my wife because I don't know what I'll trigger next time. Just continue living your life. But if you are noticing that there's a problem, that something is, maybe she's telling you or he's telling you that I don't feel comfortable doing this, or you are starting to notice that every time we do this thing, she gets really upset or he gets really upset, maybe that's a time to pause to figure out what is going on.
It can even be something as simple as a criticism or just some comment.
Yeah.
But it's not that hard. It's not a matter of, oh, no, I won't be able to talk.
Now I won't be able to talk. I'll have to be tiptoeing around my wife every time because I don't know if what I'm going to say today, 2 years later, will be this huge problem.
To me, it's obvious. I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, really? Did he just say that? It's not that hard.
So, folks, thank you for listening to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast, where we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling. And also remember that we are in the trenches with you guys. We don't have all the answers. We are just giving our honest opinion on how we actually handle things in our marriage, but we don't have all the answers. So we are looking forward to hearing your comments and your suggestions on how to make this podcast much better.
Yes, and you guys can like us on our Facebook page, and also you can talk to us on Twitter. Thank you so much, and we'll